Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back.
Topic today, managing energy, not time. It's a juicy one. I don't know if anybody's ever figured it out completely. And I've not talked to these guys about this yet, so I have no idea how they feel about it. Anybody want to jump in? Managing time. How do you feel about
it? I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about energy. What does that mean?
Oh, goodness. We're in for some good stuff.
By the way, is actually a very good place to start, because what does energy actually mean? Like, you know, a lot of people will go, well, I'm not into that energy stuff, or that's probably a good place to start, because time, we have our own concept of, right? But what does energy mean?
Can I ask a question first? I love that. I was thinking, because people, we live in a world where we manage our time. If I could ask you each, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're amazing at managing your time, you're getting everything you need out of life in your calendar, 1 being it's horrible and you can't pick 7, how would you rate yourself on managing your time?
7.1.
7's like a non-vote in my world, so nobody's ever allowed to pick
You're
7.
Funny.
So anyway, how do you feel you are at managing your time based on your aspirations for how you spend your time? It's like there's no absolute right answer. It's really just what you want.
You go, Stel. No, I was going to say, it depends. If I look at what I've created in terms of my morning ritual, it's a 10. But overall,
6.999.
Yeah, 6.999. Yeah, it's always work in progress for me. There's so many moving parts.
And so what are you, James?
So I've got two numbers. I've got one I would say for the year and one I would say for like today, or let's say this week, because I think depending on what's going on in our lives at the time will frame the answer that we give. So for the year, I would probably say 7.5. but because there's always room for improvement, right? And it's been a challenging year with lots of different things.
Yeah.
But then I would say the last couple of days has probably been more like a 4, because I feel like time has controlled me rather than me controlled time.
Yeah, I love that. I have a conflict around this answer that I've asked you and now myself. I fit a lot of things into my life because I have an interest in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, it's an 8, but I'm probably a 5 on the space I'd like to have, like the breathing room. Like I plan things to such a fine margin. Like we're doing this and we have to shut off early because I have to literally be at a coffee shop like 12 minutes after this thing ends. And, you know, like, yeah, the calendar manages me. Although I know I'm in charge of the calendar, I guess is the thing, right? So
I guess the question for this is not for ourselves to answer it. It's for the person that knows us the best in terms of work and professionally and personally.
Yeah.
Because maybe if we all ask somebody to say, you know, Mary, you rock it. You're like a 9.5 out of 10. I don't know how you get everything done in the day. Like you manage your time great. You're like, oh, I didn't think
people say
that
to me all the time.
Yeah. So really we should be asking other people.
Yeah. I want more space. And then I, like, you know, there's this famous coaching question. I think the $1 Million Coach, he coached, like, I forget his name. There's a book called The $1 Million Coach, and Eric Schmidt, the Google CEO. Anyway, terrible bastardization of this whole reference, but anyway, we'll put it in the show notes. The question he would ask is, to what extent are you complicit in creating the conditions you say you don't want? And that's the quandary, because I want more space and time, and then yet I fill up all the space and time, you know? And so but then I also want to do all the things. And like, I have, like, we were making jokes before, like I have like 100 books I haven't read that I'd love to read. And like reading books takes time. And then I get antsy. I'm like, oh, I'm reading a book. It's taking too long. I've had like 45 minutes. I have to stop, you know, like I got to move on to the next thing. So, yeah.
That actually should be a good, I mean, could even be part of this, but it's just in terms of what you tolerate and what you don't tolerate, because that's where
that's a good
is,
topic.
Right?
I'm going to add it to our list. Absolutely.
But it could be part of this in terms of time and energy, because what you're saying there about the things that you want to do is what is it that they say, Stel? Your life becomes what you tolerate.
Oh, tolerate. Something like,
which is basically when you talk about floor and ceiling, it's all about what is unacceptable for you. So for you, Mary, you might say once you've created that space, it's absolutely unacceptable that that gets filled.
Yeah.
But you tolerate it because, you know, you're obviously trying to do things, achieve things. Maybe you don't want to say no, you want to people please.
Yeah.
And then so it gets filled.
It's true. I mean,
the topic does go hand in hand though. Right. Because I don't think you could just talk about time and calendar.
No.
It's all connected, right? Because, you know, going back to the energy, it's like, what gives you energy? What gives you
excitement? There's this like famous Harvard Business Review article called Manage Your Energy and Not Your Time. And it was like 15 years ago or more. And that kind of like was a flip of switch to be like, it's not about your calendar, it's about your energy. And like, we all know those moments where your energy comes down. Like if you planned your day around your energy levels and not your calendar, you might be doing things differently. Although, how do you guys feel? Do you manage around your energy? I think I might do a bit of that already. I like the morning is the creative time.
I'm James. I didn't realize, but my yearly calendars and my quarterly calendars. So I do 3-year plans every 3 years, and then I start with the big picture first. Okay, so how does what I'm going to do in the next 3 years impact my big goal? Okay, and that's where purpose is. That's where impact's going to be. I chunk it down to 1 year, and then I chunk it down to quarterly. Now, every area of my life gets chunked down. So here's the key piece. We can get caught up in how much passion we have and what we're doing at work, right? But what about family? What about personal relationship? What about friends? What about, personal development, personal growth? You have to look at everything, not at the same time, but with regards to, okay, what energizes me in each area? Based on what energizes me for the big picture, what my purpose is what I then manage to put into the schedule. Okay. So when you chunk it down. Yep.
Your 3-year goal is connected to your purpose and your mission, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking about like, that's still a very like goal strive oriented thing, and all things related to that goal. Did they give you energy? Because I'm thinking about in my own case, we have a goal and a mission and all of that. And then there's stuff related to that that's just like, feels like heavy, hard work. Call it the management of operations in the business, because that's not my bent, right? Like I'm the visionary. I like to create and stuff like that. So even inside that goal, there would be things that are energy draining, right?
It depends, right? Because the thing is, if I'm excited about something, my energy is high, my creative in terms of other people that then you can hire to work at that level with you increases, right? So, okay, I'll tell you a story. It's easier to explain. So one of the things, and I'll get personal. So my youngest son, Gabriel, we have these things called GD Adventures. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I make a point every quarter that we put a GD adventure in the calendar, and it happened last Saturday. So we went out and no real intention other than the fact that we're going for lunch. Okay. But already my energy is at a high state knowing, okay, we're going to have fun. Okay. Yeah. So out of the blue, he says, can we just send a video to the radio show? Cause he has this, it's called Now and Then Countdown, right? It's the top 12 songs at 10 o'clock. And they pick a date. So 2006's and then this year's, right? So it's the Now and Then Countdown. And the DJ was Billy Joe or something. He goes, text the radio station and just tell the number one fans are watching and send them the video. And I said, we don't even know who Billy Joe is. Why don't we just send the message to the DJ that we know, right? So we send it to her. Mm-hmm. And it just, a whole slew of events happen afterwards that you couldn't have predicted, but it was such an experience that all of a sudden the energy's high. And now it's like you have this energy inside of you that you can put towards things like these podcasts, like work, like other areas that then drives the excitement and the creativity, right? So that's how I see manage energy first and then fill the time with what makes you energized, right? Yeah. Because now you're excited. The people that show up, that, well, you have a meeting coming up in what, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to fill your time. It's in your schedule. Okay. How do you feel about the meeting?
Oh, I'm excited. So I love where you're going with this. And James, you said to start this podcast with talk about what is energy. And I think that's a great idea. Because even so, energy for me, I mean, and Stell has way more, you can go deeper on energy, but the things that lift me up. And if you are driven by a purpose in life, then all of a sudden you wake up every day. And like, I see purpose as fuel. It's energy. It's like the thing that drives you forward, right? So I love that I have this business and I have these connections that are all very aligned with purpose, because that just lights me up, right? Like when we have we start the day, I know for James, it's you, it's a different time of day, but I start the day with having these conversations, and those days are great days because we're tapping into this amazing collective energy that we have, this thing that we mutually love, and we love each other and all of that. And that lifts me up. Or in the mornings, if I write something, like if I'm just sort of, 'cause I love ideas and I love articulating them and whatever. So I write a one thing Thursday newsletter every week. And I always feel energized after I write it. Like I'll never give it over to AI to do, because it's actually, I enjoy it so much. Flip side would be, hey, Mary, let's start Monday morning with the quarterly report and the list of aged accounts receivable that we have to go after. I'd be like, kill me right now, you know, like, and so I'd rather do those things at the end of the day, because when I'm feeling like my most creative self is in the morning, like I'm morning till like 2 p.m. So give me like the other stuff afterwards,
the crappy stuff at the end.
Yeah.
Well, the news and the best of you.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's the choice of who you spend time around. Like I will opt not to spend time with people who bring me down, right? We know, I can feel this really viscerally with clients. If we have clients that are like low energy and, you know, not values aligned and stuff like that, I can feel the energy come out of my body. One time we were blessed enough in our life to have, somebody like this wonderful lady comes and cleans our house. And, one time I was getting in my car to leave and she was showing up and I had a meeting, and I said, and she said, hey, how you doing? I said, good, how are you? She goes, well, my life's a nightmare. And I was like, it was a really odd moment because I was leaving and she was coming and I didn't have time to dig into the nightmare, but I could like literally feel the energy evaporate out of me. And like, how do I be in this place and do this thing? But if you're tuned into energy, you know, when it lifts you up and when it brings you down. And, yeah, I mean, I avoid as much as possible the stuff that brings me down. But sometimes you have to do the things that aren't as fun. You got to pay your bills. You got to take the garbage out. You got to, whether that's, you know, literally or figuratively in your life and in your business. So, yeah.
So here's a conflict. I know our last podcast was talking about conflict, but here's a conflict that I have, which is to do with time and energy. So we have our goals, right? We're all entrepreneurs. We want to achieve and succeed in our life. And we also want to find meaning and purpose along the way. But then when you do get somebody, either that's passing or it's a client or it's somebody that needs you and says, I really need you right now. And you're kind of like out the door with the business going, I've got to close this contract. I have to go and someone needs me here. My time needs me, versus this relationship is also really important with me. I need to make sure I've got time for that. There's a conflict there.
Yeah.
And that's actually one thing we didn't talk about in the last episode, was there's different types of conflicts. We can have conflicts with ourselves. It doesn't have to be with another person.
Yeah.
And so that's a tricky one, because, you know that you want to keep your positive energy, and it might be the start of the day for you, Mary, and you're going, I want to do 1, 2, 3 and go. And that's going to fulfill me for the day. And I'm needed over there. But also I'm needed over here. It might be personal, it might be family, it might be friends that need you and your time and energy. And it's like, okay, if I do choose to go over here and look after the friends and handle that personal situation, which I might feel like I need to, it's going to drain me for the day. And that's a tough one, right? I struggle with that. I struggle with that.
That's
because
so
I do have
hard.
I do have people that reach out to me because they, you know, one of my strengths is that I create this kind of safe space and people feel like they can open up and talk to me about things, which I like, and I do enjoy that. I feel like then I can help them. But it also means that I get leaned on a lot by people in situations that's outside of professional, it's personal and things. And you know, that kind of does drain on the energy, but it also in a weird way it kind of lifts me up because I feel like I'm in my unique ability that I am helping them and supporting them, but it's also taking me away from my maybe personal goals or business goals.
Totally. It's so that's interesting. I think about that made me think about my mom was in the hospital at the beginning of the year, and the conflict in time was challenged. I had to manage a lot because I still have a business to run and other responsibilities, but I had total clarity around the level of importance. And so in that case, it was very clear to me, I am here with my mom no matter what, and everything else is going to manage. I'm going to manage around the rest of it, right? And so that just made me think about when I read the book, The Road Less Traveled, which I may have mentioned to you guys before. It's in the 80s. Dr. Scott Peck wrote it, and he says in it that you can really only truly love like five people, because to truly love someone, the definition is essentially that you are going to give of yourself to facilitate their growth and development. And you can't do that with 25 people. You only can really. So then that made me wonder, as you were saying that you like, is there a way, unfortunately, to prioritize? Because there's no question that everybody wants to be in the space that you're in, because you are an empathetic listener and it does feel safe and you are very attentive. And so, like, there's no question, like, people are going to come to you, as much as you will let them. So I just wonder if there's a filter. Like, I have lost some friendships because of my priorities kind of left, like, didn't collide or didn't meet their expectations because of friendship. Like, they're like, you should be here more and you should show up and do more. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, at the time I had like small kids and a job and all the things. So, could that be a helpful guide for you to say, like, these are the five people, and if you fall outside of that, I can't. I, like, as much as I want to be there for you, I can't. There's only so much I could do.
Yeah, of course. I mean that is the only way to move forward. It's just not easy. That's
The
something that
one thing
I have conflict with. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I totally understand James, because I mean it still is me to some degree, but I've shifted a lot in terms of what I do now, which is put the big rocks in terms of like the goals in my life, right? So I think it was Dan Sullivan said that he's booked out like his calendar 2 years out, right? And you know, it's just the theoretical build out, but if you think about what you put in your calendar 2 years out, and the only way that that will change if there's a priority in terms of what shows up to take that out, it changed everything for me. Right. And an example, you know, I have some friends and, you know, in past, okay, let's go out. We're like, I'm free tonight type of thing. Right. And I can't do that anymore. Like I'm so busy with so many things that energize me that I just can't do that anymore. And it's easy to say, look, let's schedule something in 2 weeks from now. And it's interesting because then you hear, well, I don't know what I'm doing 2 weeks from now. I'll call you the night before and then we'll see if we're going to do something. It's like, so what I realized is I was getting caught up in other people's chaos because they were disorganized in their lives. And because of who I was, here's this energy that's getting put out there. And then it would be the energy drain that you're talking about, James. Look, Mary, what you brought up, which is interesting, and I hope I get this right, because my wife came back from a course and she talked about the speaker talking about a room. And again, I'll try to. Okay, so you pick a room in your house that this is just a metaphor, like a theoretical, that you'll never leave. Okay, so which room do you pick? Okay, and then the second part to it was there's one door, it's one way in. Okay, so whoever comes in can't leave. Okay. There's a bouncer on the outside that protects that door. And other than your kids, which are automatically in the room, okay, who are the five people that you're going to put in that room knowing that they'll never leave?
Wouldn't it be funny if you didn't pick your spouse? I would, though, by the way, Brandon, if you're listening.
Yeah. good recovery. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he basically said, the five people that you typically pick are the ones that have similar values to you.
Right.
Right. And, you know, there's a much bigger reason why they're in there. And it was interesting. It's the same type of question that you just asked and what came up. It's like, okay, who are the five people? Not that you're going to prioritize them. It's what is it that's going to provide energetic transference between everyone in the room? And another thing that came up is Joe Polish wrote a book, What's In It For Them? And, you know, I thought it was going to be a book. Wow, this is, sounds like me. I do everything for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And no, he said, what's in it for them, you do once. To everyone, right. Regardless, you just do it.
Right.
But then you pay attention to what's called TAMI. And what's TAMI? It's time, attention, money, energy, or effort that needs to come back to you in some form in order for the relationship to now circulate to provide energy for each other. Okay. Mm-hmm. And once I heard that, I was like, holy cow, this is interesting. Because if you just think of energy as a currency, right? Yeah. If we're putting energy out there all the time and we feel drained afterwards, that's an indication that there isn't a two-way street. With both of you, okay, I put so much energy and effort and I get more than I put out sometimes. It's like, holy jumping, this is cool. And everybody wins.
Yeah.
So it's filling the calendar with the things that you love, okay, that energize you, that you feel good about. I'm curious to see how your meeting goes, Mary.
Yeah, I know, me too. This is a great time for us to have this because I meet with my team right after. So we're all together today, which also feels, that's also a feel good day. And then I teach yoga at the end of the day. So it's like I'm with people all day long. So this is good priming energy for that.
Oh, I have another story around energy.
Okay, bring it on.
So James invites me to come to Dubai to meet a few people. Okay, yeah. So I'm in business class on Emirates A360, whatever.
18.
Okay, and I mean, first of all, it was a next level experience. And then he said, you have to go to the bar. And I'm like, but I don't drink. And he's like, no, you got to go to the bar. And I said, James, I have to get there. We're going to have to work. I'm just going to sleep. No, you have to go to the bar.
Yeah.
Anyways, don't I go to this bar and talk about energy? The people that were there were amazing. So I meet this bishop, a Nigerian bishop. We had a conversation, which was unbelievable. I don't want to get into the details, but talk about the energy at a next level in terms of an experience that I can't even describe. So I walk off that plane. I'm just vibing at another level. And sure enough, the next 3 days that I was in Dubai, first of all, I knew I was going to have an unbelievable time because I was there with James, but then he's connected to other people that have high energy too. And the whole experience was just unbelievable to the point where it made me think about, okay, what are the things that are going to energize me even at that level, which has already prepared me with what I want to do in 2025. So energy's key.
It is. So for people.
And also talk about the Burj Khalifa as well, because that's something which changed you in the way that you think about energy.
Which part? So
no, but what was written on the wall and the way that everything that you're trying to do?
Yeah. So okay. So we'll think frequency. Okay. And we only can take in a certain amount of information in our brains, and it's a small percentage, right? Like a small percentage. The 2 million bits of information hit us, you know, we 156 bits per second out of the 2 million per second is all we take in. In other words, we perceive reality. So nothing's real. The thing is, if we're in a high energy state, okay, then we see things from that state. Okay. So one of the guys asked me if he could take me out for dinner. And I'm like, yeah, of course. So we had an unbelievable dinner, unbelievable conversation, unbelievable experience. And he says, I want to take you to the Burj Khalifa. So it's like our CN Tower in Toronto, right? And it was packed. I mean, it was like an hour waiting time. And, you know, he has a family to go to. I said, no, it's fine. I mean, but anyways, he convinced me. And they have it set up. So as you're waiting in line, you know, they say how it got built and who's responsible. And then the president's quote was there on how anything's possible in terms of how you think. And his goal is to allow the Emiratis to think, which is where the creative is, where things get created. And sure enough, in 40 years, they built Dubai. But
yeah, wow.
But then we come up with this. So we see this poster of the personification of what the Burj Khalifa, which is the biggest building in the world, represents. And it was all around energy. It's all a representation of all of us having this high frequency of energy, and anything's possible. And the way that they described it is, you know, basically it's your spine. Okay. And it's basically life force energy that goes through the spine, which is what the Burj Khalifa represents.
Oh, wow.
Now, would I have seen that if I was in that state? Probably not. Right. Is it real? Maybe not. Who cares? It's another story that comes into my mind that then allows me to then enjoy the moment. Okay. And then get excited about being in that space. Mm-hmm. And now from that became another conversation where I'm going to be going to Dubai every quarter now, where something is going to show up in terms of the collaboration that James and I have. So, you know, and it impacts everything that happens in life. Right. So anyways,
that's beautiful. Good. So James, is that why you love it there? Is it energy?
It is. I was trying to find the quote because he sent it to me, but he talks about, I'll read it quickly. So I am the power that lifts the world's head proudly skywards, surpassing limits and expectations. It goes on, but it does talk about, I am the magnet that attracts the wide-eyed tourists, easily catching their postcard moment. So it is about from the ground and everyone looking up, and about moments and energy and spending time with people. More than just a moment in time, I define moments for future generations. I am Burj Khalifa.
That's amazing.
And then the quote from the president was the word impossible. It's funny because we use these words in the podcast too. The word impossible is not in the leaders' dictionaries. No matter how big the challenge is, okay, the conflicts, strong faith, determination, and resolve will overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is at the base of a tower. Like, that's amazing. You know, so it's just, belief system.
You know, it's interesting. When we started, when we conceived of this episode, I was literally thinking about very tangibly and tactically, like how you spend your time in the day. And most of us do plan around the calendar. And so it is like time and calendar related versus thinking about what lights you up and how to use your best energy on the best things. And I still think that's a really valuable thing. Like if somebody took one thing away from this, it would be like, okay, like spend the next 2 weeks writing down everything you do and give yourself two columns, energy lifting or energy draining. If you don't know, because like sometimes we don't have awareness around those things.
Yeah,
and then figure out in terms of your best time of day. Like my daughter, she wakes up in the morning like the worst human ever. She's not currently a morning person. My son and I wake up and we're like, hey, world. So, you know, she probably wouldn't have the 5 a.m. creative juices like I do. So like there's that whole, like it's worth spending time and organizing your time around that. The other thing is related to time management is like we live in a client service world in our business and everybody has customers, whether they're internal customers or not. And I used to live with this idea, like there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, well, I have to meet with so-and-so when they want to, and I have to follow everybody else's schedule. And like, that's a hard no, you absolutely do not need to, you just need to manage around it. So I will never send a, hey, let's meet next week, give me a time. 100% of the time it starts with, hey, how about Tuesday at 2? Because it fits into my calendar, right? Like there is no excuse for I can't manage this stuff.
Yeah,
but like what you guys are talking about is like a whole other level, which I love. It's kind of like plugging into the master, like the mastership, the source energy of whatever brings you energy the most, right? And so like we do things, and like I guess more and more in the last few years I've noticed just in, you know, the things I do and where I spend my time, and you know, meeting folks like you and stuff like that, that like that is source energy for me. That is the like wind me up again and then spit me out into the world. You know, other simple things for me like that are like I teach in yoga. Like I do it one day a week because it fills my bucket and it actually gives me energy to be in the room and hold space for people and to be in the body versus in the mind and all that stuff. So there are things that you can do in your life that tap you into that greater field. On the flip side, you know when you're being brought down. You know when there are people or things you do that drain your energy. And so just noticing that, like when, you know, what's your version of plugging into the mothership? You know, that's powerful stuff.
Yeah, there's a tool that we have a strategic coach called the Confidence Builder Profile or something like that. I mean, I look at it as what's the energy builder profile, right? Because if you make a list of what you just said now, like what are the things that give you the most energy? Yeah. It's one thing making a list. It's another thing hierarchy them and take your top three or top whatever, okay? And then put them into action, okay? So then
and
you
then get rid of your bottom three.
Yeah.
Can we talk about rest and what you do to restore? Because there is it like I'm a high energy person and I like again, I schedule my calendar and I'm go, 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 go. And then, you know, I do little things like make sure I breathe, you know, if I need to calm down and I like focus on sleep and stuff like that. But I'm pretty go, go, go. So what does it look like for you to unplug? Because, you know, we know that challenge and, you know, a certain amount of stress is what causes growth and development. That's in the body, whether you work out and lift weights or it's in your, you know, mental capacity or whatever, that you need to challenge yourself in order to grow. But we also need rest. And we tend to we just did it. We spent like the first half hour of this episode talking about things that give us energy, that lift us up, that get us going. But what do you do to unplug and restore?
Sleep
every night
for me. Like today I've had a pretty heavy day. It's been full on since 5:36 this morning. I will after the podcast, because now it's what, 6:30 at night for me. I'll have a couple of calls, I'll have something to eat, get a shower, then I'll go to bed at probably 8 o'clock, I would sit down and watch a movie or something with my wife and just something just to completely put the phone in the other room and just, in the evening for me, I think one of the best things is just sleep, get an extra couple of hours and just let the body do its thing and the mind do its thing and recharge.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. I prioritize sleep. I'm not always good at it, but I do go to bed between 9 and 10. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I don't know if it's because I'm older thing or if it's because I'm wiser thing and older and wiser.
Or it could be both.
Yeah. I like to camp. I like to go into the woods. I can feel my nervous system. And I mean, there's all kinds of research around what happens to your body when you're in nature. We spend a lot of time at desks and at computers and in offices and buildings and structures near pavement and stuff like that. So to get out into the woods, I can feel like the downgrade of my nervous system, but can't do that every day necessarily, or just a walk kind of. And then I decompress by watching some program with my husband and just like unplugging. I don't do well working late at night. I'd rather get up at 5 and work through dinner than I would, you know, I think I mentioned this before, to like, because I can't. It's like a new morning if I get my laptop out at night. It's like, oh, it's 6 a.m. Let's stay up forever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, not good.
What about you, Stella? How do you rest?
First of all, I don't need to focus on sleep because of I fall asleep before my head hits the pillow. And it sounds counterintuitive, but I focus on the things that excite me, which then allows me to go to sleep no problem. There's a few suggestions that were made for me that work amazingly well. The biggest one, I wouldn't say the biggest one. One of the biggest ones that I discovered, during COVID, I met two Orthodox Jewish friends now. Okay. And they, when I met them, it was during their Shabbos. Okay, so Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, 24 hours, there's like zero technology, zero work-related anything. I mean, it's just you sit at a table, they set up dinners, lunches, they walk everywhere. There's no tech, like no cars, no driving, no nothing, right? What was interesting is they have 24 hours of literally off time. And I compare it to what it used to be like for our Sundays. No shopping, nothing was open. The conversations that we had during Shabbos and the connections that happened were unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, so it's like, you know, what are you shutting down? Well, you're not shutting down the creative process. You're just shutting down the noise. Okay, and when you have 24 hours of flow state in that space, there's so many things that come out of it that are, you know, we had the conversation around dialogues. They were full on dialogues. In other words, there was deep meaning and deep awarenesses that then literally lasted the whole week. Okay.
Wow.
Second one that worked really well was a suggestion where I used to have a stopwatch. Actually, I might start doing it again. And when you're the day, like you have 2-3 hours, for example, to do focused, concentrated, whatever, for 50 minutes, you have the stopwatch on. Okay. And no disruption at all. Phones off, emails off, everything's off. And what happens is you get into flow state and stay into flow state long enough that after the 50 minutes, now you take a 10 minute break, do whatever you want, watch TV, whatever you want, doesn't matter. Then you come back, do another 50 minutes. Okay. You do that with 3 50-minute intervals. It's like an 8-hour day. Okay. So it's an efficiency in your time system to stay in flow state. Okay. The last thing for me is my morning ritual. Okay. Because I know when I get up in the morning, it puts me right into being in that physiology, being in that mind state, which allows me to think differently so that my day is a lot more productive. And I get, again, excited about the things that are happening. And when the end of the day comes around, I first of all, I don't watch the news anymore. That's another thing.
Okay? Me either.
Any noise that's negative or I totally shut it off. And then I'll either, I usually read just before bed and sometimes I'll journal and diary and then that's it. Hit the pillow, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and yeah, I don't know if that helps explain it, but that's maintaining.
So it sounds like for both of you, you have a daily something that you do to unplug. And I think I do too. I do too. I think we all need
to try and find that as well, don't we?
Yeah. Like I think
whatever that is.
Yeah. Like there's the rest to get through the day. And I love the idea of intense focus and then sort of relief, like go for a walk, that kind of thing. And that's amazing. I would like to find more regular, longer periods of rest that are weirdly, I want to call them productive rest. Like I want to get the most out of my resting period. I need to achieve inside my resting period. I don't know what that means. Like I just had a weekend that was full of rest. Like I was all out last week, like right up to the wire on Friday evening. And then I really had no schedule for the rest of the weekend, which was amazing. I walked to my mom and dad's. I helped my mom put up a Christmas tree in her front yard, like, or put lights in the Christmas tree. Like it was a completely easy pace. So it was a really, and I'm super grateful for that time and space to do that. And then I got to the end of the weekend. I'm like, oh, I should have done more with my controlled rest. I don't know. So it's the achiever. It's the, I don't know. I don't want to go on autopilot with it. I want to, and then maybe that's the point. So anyway.
But you know, when you teach your yoga and you're doing yoga, do you have like a 5 minutes at the end of that where you're kind of closing your eyes and properly, you know, meditating or resting?
Yes. And also in the teaching of yoga, you have to let go of everything that's related to you in your life. So in a way it's its own meditative state because you're there really holding the energy for other people. And that's a really cool shared space. So it's funny. I don't have.
You would have little bits of rest throughout the days, but it might not be like a day of, you know.
Totally. And I will, like, if I'm wound up about something, I will focus on breath. I will be driving to a meeting and I'm like, I've got a lot of things going on and like the world is spinning around me and I'll just like calmly breathe because I know what it does for me. So there are those things. I just want to, I don't know, like anything. I'm like, could I do it better? Could I do rest better? Anyway.
No, that's what makes you great. You're always searching for to optimize and searching for, you know, make everything better and make everything
Yeah.
You know, high level of performance.
That's right. That's right. All right. Final All right. thoughts. One word. One word on energy versus time. Or two words, one thought.
It's all energy.
It's all energy.
I'm going to go with we don't experience life. We experience life. We focus on.
Oh, that's a good one.
That,
Yeah, I love that one. Mine would be find where you plug into the mothership that lifts you up and plug in often. There we go. All right, awesome. Guys. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, everyone.
Until love you guys time. On my mothership.
That's right. You guys are on my mothership. That's true. So there you go. Thanks for the boost in energy today.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.